Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're watching this session. Welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be here with you. Today we're going to be in Chapter 8, Identifying Those Who Join in Covenant. In this particular chapter, the author is going to give us qualifications that men and women should carry when they're joining somebody in covenant, some rules of engagement that we must follow. If you would turn me to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, we'll use David and the people that surrounded him to give us a framework of how covenant should be in our relationship, in our churches, in our homes, so that we can properly fulfill the agenda of God. Because remember now, this is all about fulfilling God's dreams. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is our job to bring to pass the dreams of God. That's what Hebrews 11:1 is saying. A lot of times we think Hebrews 11:1 is talking about bringing our hopes to pass or what we want. No, it's about us materializing. That's what it means. Now faith is the substance that's materialized the hopes and dreams of God. I'll give you an example. God wanted Jesus to get to the earth. He had to first do it through proper channels. So he used Abraham sacrificing Isaac, or attempting to sacrifice Isaac, as a permission that he can now bring Jesus on the earth. So, in other words, his dream was to bring Jesus, but it was up to Abraham to materialize the beginning of the process. I hope you caught that. So it's up to us to bring to pass the dreams of God. And the way God designed it, before we go to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, go with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. We'll see when God dealt with Abraham, in this 12th chapter, you see God said something very powerful to Abraham, and it set up how God is going to do this. And we'll see from this particular scripture how the church has hit a stall where it seems like things ain't happening, seem like things around us are getting darker. But when we understand how God wants us to operate together, we'll see how powerful we are. Look in Genesis the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse. Let's look at the first verse. Read it. We read it before, but this is important. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Now here's the way I want to get to. And I will, who's talking? God's talking. And God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here is God is establishing the framework of covenant, of joining together for a common cause. The common cause happened to be his agenda. He told Abram, I'm going to empower those that prosper that empower you to accomplish what I've called y'all to do. So go back to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. And we're going to read the first verse. The first verse, the second verse. And then I'll skip to the 10th verse. Look at the first verse. 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, and the first verse. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David upon Hebron and saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Hear what these people are saying. They're telling David, we are thy bone and thy flesh. We're one with you. And moreover, in times past, even when Saul was king, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel, And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a ruler over my people Israel. Verse 3, therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron, saying, before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Look at verse 10. Something important here. Verse 10 said, these are also the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel. Listen to this. To make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Here's where Hebrews 11 and 1 is really going to take another meaning for you. Remember now, let's backtrack over our classes. We first started, I began to talk about how you must become God-centric and not self-centric. You must read the word of God from a God-centric point of view. Other words, a God-centered point of view, not a self-centric or a self-centered point of view. So now when you read the word of God, you need to find out, okay, what does God want? When I read Hebrews 11 and 1, turn there, Hebrews 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1, because I don't assume that everybody knows that scripture. It's a very familiar scripture, but I don't want to assume. I want you to read it and see it. Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, hoped, past tense, and the evidence of things not seen. Now, God and our hope are rooted in this scripture. But if we don't, first of all, bring God's hope to pass, then our hopes won't come to pass. Watch this. It says, now faith is the substance or the materialization of things hoped for. Hope is a future goal, some dreams, some aspirations. It says, now faith, or my assignment, or my obedience to God, my trusting in God and his word and obeying his word or obeying his instructions given to me, is the materialization. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that word. The materialization of things hoped for. Other words, I am responsible for bringing to pass the dreams of God. And it says, and the evidence of things not seen. So when I bring God's dreams to pass, that is evidence of something that I desire that I don't see yet, that I want to come to pass. So you see here where my obedience to God and his instructions materializes his dreams. I never seen it that way, but I just started to know. Materializes a good word. It brings into the natural. God was going to flood the earth. He needed the ark to be built. Who he told? Noah. Noah obeyed the voice of God and materialized the ark. Praise God. He obeyed the word of God and obeyed the instructions of God and materialized the ark. He brought to pass the dreams of God. God is was on a process of trying to accomplish some things. And he has invited us as humans to get involved with what he's doing so that, because the only limitation that God has given himself, notice what I said, the only limitation that God has given himself is that he cannot do anything in the earth realm, in the natural, without our participation. When we participate in what he's doing, God gets things done in the earth realm. And when we don't participate, then God can't do the earth realm. That's why you see between the writing of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was a space of 400 years and nobody had heard the voice of God in that period of time. Why? They weren't cooperating. If you read the end of Malachi, you'll see that they weren't cooperating. They didn't want to hear him. So God just sat back. Because see, here's what you must understand. God has eternity. He's not on time. He's not based in time. Time is in him. So he has eternity. And so when we cooperate with his agenda, when we cooperate with his instructions, then he's able to perform what he wants to, what he wants to happen in the earth realm. So back in First Chronicles, the 11th chapter. And watch this. Watch this now. Here's what, look at the 10th verse. It said, "These are also the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves." They strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. This scripture said they made him king. But I thought he was already king. Here's where we understand why we have to cooperate with God's agenda. The Bible says the call of God is without repentance. God called David to be king, but we have to make him king. Listen to what I'm saying. God called your pastor. God called your leader. But you have to, in your mind and in your heart, you have to make him the leader. Make him the pastor. Make her the pastor. Make her the leader. This is important. This is very important. Without our cooperation with God's instructions, things will come to a halt. This is why the church is in such disarray now. This is why we have so many denominations. This is why we have so many organizations. Because we have to understand what God wants. Understanding what God wants will cause you to check your pride and check your ego. Hear me now. Remember now, without us, God cannot materialize his dreams. Hebrews 11 and 1. And so here we see in 1 Chronicles that David was called to be king. David was called to be king. God called him. No doubt about it. God called him. But the people had to surround him to make him king. The same situation with who God, that's why God called. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's why you have to be accurate with who God has connected you to. We're going to read, we're going to go over some characteristics that we should have and we should find in these connections. See, without the calling, there can be no making. See, God has to ordain it, but once God ordained it, we have to choose to be involved with what God is doing. I'm taking my time saying this because a lot of us have to make adjustments in our thought process and our mindsets on how we interact with our leadership. Not that we're not submitted, not that we're not, that we don't love God and that we don't want God to accomplish what he's dreaming about. But there's a certain way we have to do it. There's certain connections we have to make, certain mentalities that we have to have. So I want you to notice that the people of God, the people of Israel, got around David, even though David was called to be king, but they did what they did Genesis 12 and 3. They empowered, they blessed David so that David can fulfill what God had called him to do. See, the agenda was in David. Now, this goes on. God has so beautifully designed his kingdom. And Satan's number one objective is to disrupt the kingdom. We can go back to Genesis, the first chapter, the second chapter, and see how Satan disrupted the kingdom. God was establishing his kingdom with Adam and Eve, but Satan disrupted it by causing pride and ego to get involved. Pride caused Adam and Eve to eat off that tree. Ego caused them to eat off that tree. Do not let pride and ego cause you to miss your connection. Do not let pride and ego cause you to miss your connection. Here's the empowerment behind not allowing pride and ego to allow you to miss your connection. The empowerment is you must understand God's will. God's will for you will always get you connected to where and to who He wants you to be connected to. Once you understand that, once you receive that, then you can follow it. Do not let Satan come in and have you to bite off the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the process that happened in Genesis is not, that happens daily to people. Satan is causing them to eat off that tree. We have to stop eating off that tree and eat off the tree of life, which is God and His word. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So based on that, you must identify who you're supposed to be in covenant with and identify those who are supposed to be around you. Watch this. Unless we walk in these principles that we've been talking about, unless we walk in these God-ordained boundaries and live honorably with each other, we will never be able to finish our assignment together. We'll never be able to bring to pass or materialize, I keep using that word, materialize the dreams of God unless we're able to work together. Watch this. Accurate connection will become the ground rules for coming together in a covenant relationship of honor and loyalty. This is key. This is important. We can destroy the seeds of discord, disunity, and betrayal from our ranks. We can put an end to the pent-up negative energy of offense and unforgiveness from our midst. We can draw close together to each other in genuine trust and provide wholehearted contributions as we are bound by common destiny. There are seven pivotal points for accurate connection. Watch this. We'll go through each seven of them. First, they must affirm that they are part of each other's lives. Look at verse 1 in chapter 11. We read it, but we'll read it again. Then all of Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. We only come into covenant with people whom we feel are a part of our lives, who share the same passion and desires. We cannot join what we share no common identity or nature with. That's the author saying this. It makes no sense for you to connect to someone or to a leader who doesn't carry the same passions that you carry. Doesn't make sense. You're not going to have the same energy. Watch this. We all are part of the same DNA. Being of the same DNA reduces conflict and contention. It sets the base for a hope of a better future and a healthy working relationship. If you don't have, you must have more in common with your leader than you don't have in common. If you have more not in common with your leader, is one of two things got to happen. One of two things got to happen. Number one, you got to make sure that God has connected you to this leader. And if God has connected you to this leader and you know the voice of God, if God has connected you to this leader and you don't have more in common with this leader than you don't have in common with them. Listen to what I'm saying. It's very clear. I need you to understand this. If you feel God has spoken to you by being connected to a certain leader, to a pastor, to a church, to an organization, if God have connected you to them and you don't have more in common with them than you do have in common with them, one or two things got to happen. Either you didn't hear the voice of God, or you got to make adjustments. It's up to you. Gone are the days, people of God, gone are the days in which gone are the days in which we're led like Moses led the children of Israel. Moses led the children of Israel the way he led them because they didn't have the Spirit of God within them. The Spirit of God can only come upon them. Because of Jesus Christ and him crucified, we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So it's the same structure, but a different type of leading. Your man and woman of God is not going to make every decision for you. Your man and woman of God is not going to lay everything out in plain English for you. Because if they lead out everything in plain English for you and lay everything out in plain direction for you, like Moses did the children of Israel, then you're going to be obligated to the man or woman of God and not to God himself. Your man and woman of God carries an agenda, and you have to attach yourself to that agenda, and God will speak to you. This is how God gave us an example and gave us an example of how the principle worked in 1 Chronicles. They knew that God had called David. Why? Because Samuel proclaimed it. But just because God had called David to be king, they had to make him king. So they had to understand the will of God. You must understand the will of God. You must understand the agenda. You must understand the agenda of the house. You must understand God's direction for the house. You must understand God's direction for the group of people that he's connecting. If you don't understand it, then it's going to be hard to find commonality. Without commonality, there will be friction. We must discover there are more common ground and similar perceptions or agreement amongst ourselves to bring the relationship to a higher level. Jesus, when he picked the 12, Jesus chose the 12 based on them having common ground or, watch this, common direction with him. And he took time with the disciples that when they seemed like they didn't have what Jesus wanted to do, they wasn't in agreement with, he took time to teach them. This is the purpose of your man or woman of God, is to mature you. Oh, glory to God. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Watch this. Ephesians 4. Glory to God. God has so beautifully orchestrated his kingdom. If we just follow his prescribed order of kingdom, if we just follow how he's laid it out, life will become easier. The world will get darker, but your life will become easier. Watch what he says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Very familiar scripture and the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the maturing of the saints or perfecting of the saints so that they could do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Watch this. Till we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this. Until we come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith, in the unity of the assignment. In the unity of the assignment. To the unity of the assignment. In other words, commonality, common agenda. We're going in the same direction. Now, how does that come about? Look at verse 12. He gave some apostles, look at verse 7. From apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. I know I'm reading fast. For the maturing of the saints. The maturing. Why do we need to mature? We need to mature so we can see the will of God for ourselves. So that's the purpose of your man and woman of God constantly teaching to you, constantly preaching to you, constantly ministering to you on Sundays, Tuesdays, or whenever we have a special meeting. Constantly minister to you so that you can mature. Why? So that you can do the work of the ministry. Why would you do the work of the ministry? So the body of Christ can be edified or be built. Look. And that's going to keep happening. Until we all come in the unity of the faith, of the unity of the assignment, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ. Look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So your man and woman of God is not there to give you every decision for your life. They're giving you the tools you need, the information you need, the impartation you need, the grace you need to mature so that you can do the work of the ministry, so the body of Christ can be built, so that you can, on your own, join yourselves around your man or woman of God and make them the pastor. They're already called. They're already called. But you have to make them. What that means to make them? In your own personal life, God, this is who you've connected me to. This is a decision you have to make in your own personal life. God, this is who you connected me to. And so, God, whatever you speak through them, I'm going to hear your voice. When you do that, you will hear things on a Sunday morning, on a Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, whenever you have midweek Bible study. You will hear things that other people won't hear. God, because he can trust you, because you have made them pastor. Now, you didn't call them, but what that means made them. In my life, this is my pastor. I don't care what nobody else is going to do. In my life, that's what the people did in 1 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, in 11th chapter. They told David, we are your bones and we are your flesh. What they were saying is, David, whatever instructions God has given you, give those instructions to us so that we can understand, so we can be taught, so that we can catch on to the agenda of God. Oh, my God. This is so important. So you must have commonality. You must have, watch this, you must affirm. You must affirm in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit that I'm a part of that person's life. I'm a part of this man or woman of God's life. They've already affirmed that they're a part of your life by teaching you, willing to pour out of themselves. They're spending time with God. They're praying with God, getting instructions, getting directions, getting insight. God, what do I need to do? How do I need to say this? What do I need to do? What do I need to do this Sunday, God? What do I need to say this Tuesday night or Wednesday night? God, what do I need to do? What programs do I need to implement? God, what systems do I set in place so I can empower the people that you have signed me to? They've already affirmed that you are a part of their lives, but they will not be effective until you affirm that you are a part of their life. This is why membership is so important. The old paradigm used membership as a means of trapping people, as a means of separating people. But when you really, truly become a member of the body of Christ unto God's agenda, it really connects you to people. It connects you to other people. It enlarges your territory. It strengthens your card. Praise God. We must affirm. You must make that decision for yourself. Remember again, I'm closing here. Remember again, God called David to be king. I'll give you another example. God told Elijah to go anoint Elijah a prophet in thy house. When he got to Elisha, he cast his mantle on him. In other words, he was casting his connection onto Elisha. Now, God already spoke to Elijah, because God doesn't do things like that. He doesn't use another man to speak into your life without him first speaking to you. Hear that? Hear that? God will never use a man to speak into your life unless he first gave you, first attempted to talk to you for yourself. So anytime another man or woman speaks into your life, is only confirmation to what God was always trying to get to you. You might not have heard him as clearly. Because can't nobody call you to do nothing. God calls you to do things. Other people can only confirm. Never let another man or woman speak into your life and call you to something. They can only confirm. Only confirm. So Elijah was throwing his mantle on Elisha. Elisha said, let me go and kiss my mom and do all the other. Elijah said, what do I have to do with thee? Other words, I didn't call you. I didn't call you. So Elisha had to make a decision. Make a decision that I'm going to be connected to Elijah. My God. I hope you're seeing this. I hope this session starts you on a journey to where you begin to. And look, don't wait on me. Go and read the chapter 8. Go to, we have, because of so much teaching, and hadn't been able to get to beyond the first pivot, what is called the first pivotal point of accurate connection. I just got to the first one, but there's 2 and 3. Don't wait on me, read, because we're going to cover these, but I want you to begin to implement these things. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. 1 John 2:27. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher that has ever existed. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to work with you on your connection with your spiritual leader. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to make you so connected to where the Holy Spirit will give your leader instructions and be giving you your instructions, and you meet up on Sunday or meet up whatever you, and you're already on the same page. I expect, that's the kind of connection that I expect to have with my spiritual leader. That's the kind of connection I expect to have with the people that God has connected me to, so that we can get the job done, so that we can accomplish God's agenda, so we can bring to pass the dreams of God, so we can materialize God's dreams. I bless you. I look forward to being with you next week. Be blessed.